prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. We have a great show planned for you today. During the first hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. Terry Ann Glauser about the physician's knowledge and perception about obesity management. Important discussion because many people have an opportunity to get guidance from their physicians, and what their physicians think and do is an important aspect of this. Also, later in the show, we're going to be joined by Dan Matha for another episode of Matha Motivation. We're going to talk about the power of introspection in propelling you to your goals. I have to remind you that Superhuman Radio is made possible through a special grant by All American Pharmaceutical. Their product line is All American EFX Sports. You can go to superhumanradio.com to learn more about them. Also, an announcement. In the past several months, I've gotten lots of emails and messages from listeners. Everybody's been complaining about the speed in which the website loads and the fact that they can't download the MP3s fast enough. We've outgrown our current rack space, and we've had to get our own cloud. That's right. Superhuman Radio Network has its own cloud. We now have over 35 servers strategically placed around the globe to deliver content to our listeners faster. So these upcoming weeks, you'll notice the website loads a lot faster, the MP3s download a lot faster, and the stream is completely uninterrupted. And I thank everybody for their patience and the growing pains, but we are delivering over 35 terabytes of content a month. That's ridiculous. And it's thanks to you, the listeners. So let's get started. Dr. Terry Ann Glauser, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be on your show.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And this is a discussion we've had before. And like, you know, what I've learned in the 10 years I've been doing the show is that sometimes you've got to hit these topics over and over and over and over and over again before there's change. If you hit it once and you just assume people heard it, they understand it, and behaviors are changed, then it's not correct. You have to keep addressing these issues. And this is a very important issue because for the majority of Americans, their physician is their only opportunity to get good information about their health, rightfully so. And part of that discussion has to be addressing obesity and obesity management, correct?
That is correct. Absolutely.
Describe this study that you and your colleagues recently published. What were the endpoints you were looking to answer?
Well, what we wanted to know was whether physicians felt that they could diagnose obesity, whether they were familiar with guidelines, and what we also really wanted to know was at what point were they going to prescribe medication or send patients for bariatric surgery when they decided patients were obese. So that was what we were looking at.
You know, and a part of that I cringe at, and I'll tell you the part I cringe. Bariatric surgery should be the absolute last discussion where all other attempts have failed. And really, doctors should be having lots of discussions about lifestyle changes, diet and exercise and those types of things well before. And the patient should have tried and exhausted all of these legitimately before that discussion occurs. But nonetheless, I also understand that physicians have certain arrows in their quiver that they're allowed to fire, and the rest they really don't necessarily have the ability to fire or get patient to comply with, right?
That's true. I will tell you, actually, from my discussions with a lot of different physicians, as well as my own experience and studies that have been done, that physicians get very frustrated with advising patients about making lifestyle changes. And we found that in studies that we looked at patients with them managing patients with diabetes. And, you know, diabetes, lifestyle changes are a big part of managing your diabetes, not just obesity and heart disease. And It's very hard for people to, probably not your listeners because they're interested in health, but for a lot of people, it's hard for them to make those lifestyle changes, and it's frustrating for physicians to continually recommend them. So they're looking for something else that they can do for patients. I totally agree with you. I would love it if people would just get on the bandwagon and say, yep, my doc told me to watch my diet and exercise, and I'm going to go do it. And it's cheaper, and it's way easier than getting medicine or having surgery. I agree with you about that 100%.
Let me tell you a story about me. When I turned 39, I was diagnosed with a dysrhythmia in my heart that was putting me on a fast track for a pacemaker, and I was 330 pounds. And I had a talk with my physician then, Dr. Jim Swift, great guy. He was trained in the military, too, so I think they don't mince words that's the environment that they kind of cut their teeth in. And he had a real sit-down, heart-to-heart talk with me that I took seriously. And some of it was he said, you know, it's just a matter of being more active and eating less. That's it. And when he said it, sometimes those oversimplifications go right over your head, but because I was looking at diseases that my own parents didn't have, and they lived into their 80s as well, I took what he said seriously because I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to die a lot sooner if I don't do something. And really, this show found its genesis in my saving my own life. But what I can tell you is that a lot of times we live with the notion of tomorrow. Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll put it off to tomorrow. And tomorrow really never comes, as the song says. But also when you're faced with a life or death situation, I think it's more motivating. However, with that being said, I interviewed a scientist back in 2008 from the UK who looked at the number of life-threatening events it takes for someone to change their high-risk behavior. It's not one, it's not two, it's three. And quite frankly, many people don't make it past the second one, so they just die. So I can understand physicians' frustration. I really can. And given the environment of the medical orthodoxy today and what doctors can and can't do, I could see them not wanting to even broach the subject because it's useless.
I think there is a certain amount of feeling about that, but of course that's always balanced by the studies that have shown that when physicians recommend a behavior like quitting smoking, people are more likely to consider it. So I think it's incumbent upon my colleagues, even if they feel frustrated that the patient may not do it, to suggest it. Because even if you only have a small percentage of your patients that pay attention to what you're saying, you're helping those people
right,
as opposed to helping no people. So,
how is this designed? So how did you enlist the responses from these groups of physicians? And tell my audience who was asked to respond.
Okay. So we did a statistical analysis, which is pretty boring, and I won't describe it, and found that it would take a total of 300 physicians, 100 primary care physicians that I'm going to call PCPs because it's quicker, 100 endocrinologists, 70 cardiologists, and 30 physicians who specialized in bariatric medicine. And if we had those many physicians, we could get a good statistical analysis that would be meaningful to be able to say that, yes, our results are valid. So what we did was we went into the AMA. The AMA has a big database of physicians and keeps track of their specialties, and you can get a hold of that list, and we sent invitations to do this online survey to physicians in each one of those categories. And as each category of physician filled up and people took the survey, when we got to 100 primary care physicians, then no more primary care physicians could take the survey, and same thing with the other three groups, so that we got all the physicians that we needed. I will say that before we created the survey, we did a literature search, so we read through all the most recent literature about how physicians were treating obesity. Actually, the group that I was working with at the time, we'd actually done another study in 2011 just on primary care physicians, so we were familiar with you know, how physicians were and what the literature was. And we also interviewed a bunch of physicians before we sat down and created a survey. And then we created a survey, which there were multiple choice questions. There were what's called a Likert scale, where people could say how likely they were on a scale of 1 to 10 to do things. There were some open-ended questions where they could write in an answer. So there was a survey, about 30 questions, and we got these physicians to take it. So that's what we did.
Okay. And what kind of results did you see as it relates to some of the questions that you asked? Give us an idea of some of the questions that you asked them.
Okay. So just sort of an overview. We wanted to know about the physicians' attitudes about obesity and patient management of obesity. We wanted to know, did they know about guidelines? We wanted to know about whether they what they thought about weight loss medications and what they thought about surgery for weight loss. So those are the big groups of barriers to communicating with patients. So that's the big buckets into which we were looking to see how physicians were doing, to see, because the goal of this survey was to see if there were gaps where we could provide physician education. That was the end result of what we wanted to get out of here.
The one that I read that I kind of felt some physicians are sorely lacking in really what's going on in the area of obesity and obesity management is that there seemed to be an overwhelming number of physicians who felt that obesity was a result of a lack of self-control. And while this could be partly true, there's a lot more to the story than just self-control in these individuals. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that are, and obesity is a very interesting topic. I have a friend who's an endocrinologist, and I think he kind of summed it up really well in terms of, for endocrinologists and maybe for all physicians, which is that as a disease, obesity has come late to the dance, which means that we're just now really beginning to investigate the what the basis, the physiologic basis of obesity is. So the hormones that are involved, the neurotransmitters that are involved, because when we understand that, first of all, we'll probably be doing less blaming of people, and we'll be able to be more supportive of people both in producing medications if they need it or telling them that they don't need it.
Right.
But we don't really have a good handle on the what goes on in your body in terms of obesity. We do know that fat acts like an organ
right.
itself, and that fat can store drugs that people take. And, in fact, when people lose weight, sometimes the drugs get released back into their system, so you have to consider that. It's a complicated issue, and it's not just about self-control. But there is a certain element of, most people can take control of what's going on with their eating and their exercise.
I would agree with that. And now to throw yet, more multifactorial type steps into it, we're starting to understand the role of the microbiome in obesity and the propensity to put on body fat. And even to crave certain foods because these microbes are kind of dictating by releasing certain chemicals that end up influencing the brain, your choices on food. So it really, look, as a former fat person, I never wanted to be fat. It's not like I sat down one day and said, I'm going to eat really crappy food and be less and less active day in and day out for the next decade until I get up to 330 pounds. It creeps up on you. And quite frankly, the real fault I have right now within the diet industry is that everybody thinks that the remedy should happen so fast. And, if it takes 10 years for you to become obese, be prepared for it to take several years for you not only to lose the weight in a healthy manner, but also restore your own health. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We're talking with Dr. Terry Ann Glosser. We're talking about physicians' knowledge about and perception of obesity management. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal antibiotics. Progenidrex.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's ultimate stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Terry Ann Glauser. We're talking about physician knowledge and perception of obesity management, important discussion, and especially those of you who are personal trainers out there. You work with individuals who are looking to change the trajectory of their health and their outcome, and this is also important to you, too, because if you understand what or what not their physicians are talking about with them, you can maybe help cover some of that stuff for yourself. Okay, so these questions were answered by the physicians, and what kind of responses did you find, Dr. Glauser?
Okay, so, well, the first thing that we asked them was, do they agree that obesity is a disease? Because if they don't see it as a disease, then it's not going to be as important. It's not going to be on the radar as much. But, in fact, what we found was that most physicians do, you know, 80% or more do see it as a disease. They agree with the AMA that it is a disease. It is something that they should be addressing. So it's not that they disagree about that. As you had mentioned, about half of them still felt that obesity was a result of a lack of self-control. So even though they see it as a disease, there's still this thought in the back of their head, yeah, but it's because patients can't control themselves. So they have this kind of dichotomous view of it. They also felt, and I tend to agree with them, that patients are primarily responsible for their own weight management.
Yes.
That's true, because your physician can't be with you all the time. We can give you advice, we can help you out, but we can't do it for you. So I think that's a reasonable result.
Absolutely.
Most of them actually felt that they could help overweight and obese patients achieve a healthy weight. So it's what we call self-efficacy, and they're not lacking in self-efficacy. So the question is, why aren't they doing it? I'm not sure that we came up with a really good answer about that. We asked them questions about their communication and what might get in the way of them talking to patients about that. So we said, well, are you afraid of offending patients? And in fact, very few of them were really afraid of offending patients or that the patient might not be interested. Less than 20% said yes to any of those. So what's getting in the way of their talking to about this with patients? Was it lack of training? That turned out to be a no. Very few of them said that was an issue. Again, low likelihood of success. That was not much of an issue. How about lack of resources to refer patients so that they could, you know, either if they were a primary care physician or an endocrinologist, maybe they didn't feel comfortable managing it, so they want to send the patient to a bariatrician, or maybe they just need to know about Weight Watchers or a nutritionist, but that wasn't an issue for them either. So it's not entirely clear. We didn't really elucidate why they're not talking to their patients about this.
This is a question. This is a question I've asked on two other occasions when we've discussed this type of a topic.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, I have to ascertain, those who were able to identify obesity successfully, did they use BMI as the identifying factor?
Well, they did use BMI. That was the most common. We asked you what they used to screen for obesity. The most common thing they used was BMI, followed by weight. And then a distant third was waist circumference.
So the next question I would ask them is, and again, this is not completely definitive, but I think it's an important aspect of this type of a discussion one-on-one with a physician and their patient. Where do you fall on the BMI/obesity scale? Because it's been my experience that parents who are slobs have a hard time teaching their kids or forcing them to be neat. And, you know, it's one of those discussions where, like my father's doctor in Phoenix when he was alive was morbidly obese. And my father was not in his 80s, but my point is, I would imagine he would have a very difficult time sitting down with an obese person and going, you know, you really have to do something about your weight. The person's going to look at him and go, you first. I mean, you know, it's hard to make suggestions about obesity when you yourself, the physician, is obese.
I'm completely in agreement with that. I have long felt that the truth of the matter is that the most important patient that I ever took care of is me.
Yes.
You know, if I can't follow my own advice, so I exercise every day. I watch what I eat. I don't eat red meat, and I don't smoke, and I don't drink, and I don't do any of those things that I'm telling people that they shouldn't be doing. And I agree with you that physicians should certainly be setting an example for their patients, and a lot of times they don't. Although it was interesting when I interviewed physicians about our results, because we went back after we got our results and actually talked to some physicians who took the survey, most of the physicians were people who did exercise. And when I asked them what their BMI was, I think the highest BMI that I got was 27. So and again, this is one of the, may have been a bias of the survey that we did. It may have been people who were interested in obesity as I am, so they took the survey, and these are people who have it more prominently in their minds, and so they're people who are actually exercising and watching their diets. So it may have been a sort of a skewed group.
Yeah, because one of the questions I was going to ask, but then I didn't ask it after you said once you got to 100, you didn't take any more in that category.
Right.
One of the questions I was going to ask is if you've sent out 625 of these questionnaires, mm-hmm. but it looks like you really didn't get an overwhelming response, I'm wondering if the ones who are guilty themselves, so to speak, just figured, oh, forget it, I'm not even going to be bothered with this. I don't want to go down that road at all.
I think that's a distinct possibility, and it's always a risk we take when we send out the kinds of surveys that we send out, is that there's an innate bias in the physicians who answer our surveys, and there isn't really much that we can do about that.
No, I know.
We have to take the answers. Although, what this represents, and in some ways it's a little bit disheartening, is that this is the best case scenario.
Right. These are the ones who are willing
to
respond. Yes. Yes. They were willing to respond. And look at them. They're not doing anything to intervene with these individuals, which
right.
is really sad. And then the other thing that we have to remember, we've talked, I mean, I've done 10 hours a week of radio for 10 years now and have some of the brightest scientists on the world on the show. And one of the things that they will all agree upon is, you know, self-reporting is a very, very dangerous tool of epidemiology because people tend to underreport bad behavior and overreport good behavior, or what they perceive the study is looking for tends to be overreported. So we have to kind of take that into account, too. Physicians are human beings. They want to be appreciated, liked, and not demonized. And so there could be a little bit of that going on here as well. I want to take a break. I've got more questions. We're talking with Dr. Terri-Anne Glaucer. We're talking about a very, very important subject, and that is, what do physicians think about obesity management, and what do they do about obesity management? Because they are the first line of defense in getting this problem handled. Folks, I've told you before, I've said it dozens of times, that obesity and the diseases of modernity that go along with obesity run a greater risk of collapsing this country than terrorism, oil prices, or the housing bubble, or any of those things combined. Because we cannot sustain a population that continues to get sicker and sicker and sicker at a younger and younger age. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin. Human by Rev Genetics today. Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freakmaker Build from AAEFX is a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Frotalin, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkalin, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Crealkalin pH buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic raw EVOO for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Terry Ann Glauser. We're talking about the perception of obesity and obesity management, how physicians view these issues. So what did physicians think traditional obesity management was outside of lifestyle changes? Was it? I read someplace in the study that they were unrealistic about pharmacological intervention and what kind of results it would produce and what periods of time. I kind of feel like physicians are watching those Xenadrine commercials on TV too much, maybe.
I think that you may be right about that because they were unrealistic. Realistically, if a patient is prescribed a weight loss medication and they take it reliably and they continue to carry out their lifestyle changes, there's a lot of ands in that sentence.
Right.
They should be able to achieve about a 5, maybe on a really dedicated patient, 10%, but mostly about a 5% reduction in their body weight, which actually is, especially for obese patients, is a huge advantage. It really cuts their risk of all kinds of other diseases tremendously if they can even get 5% of their body weight off. But what physicians were looking for was 15%, some said 25%, and about a quarter to a third of them weren't even sure what they should be getting from these weight loss medications. So they're really having unrealistically high expectations, or they're not even sure what they're going to be offering patients.
You know, I have to say something, that in the past 10 years, I have been purposely hard on physicians. But this is when I think about this, I think, you know, I really kind of feel really bad for physicians. This has to be a thankless time for physicians because they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. And they have so much now. Even those who specialize, they just have so much to be aware of. It's just becoming so much more difficult to treat people, because people are just so complicated now. You know, it used to be back in the days it was bliss, it was easy, you know. Now it's just so many things. And I kind of feel like physicians really don't have a good feel for what healthy weight loss is, because in my humble opinion, and again, I have no letters after my name, you know, I'm just a kid from Brooklyn. And as a result, I can say things and put my foot in my mouth and not worry that they're going to take my license away. But I really think that physicians really don't know. And what I mean by that is the medical orthodoxy looks at weight loss in a vacuum. Okay, if I do something to somebody and they lose 15 pounds in 2 weeks, it's a win. And that's not true. Not enough importance is placed on a discussion that we have in this audience for all the time, and that's repartitioning. And what I mean by that is the importance of muscle. You know, I've been saying for 10 years, muscle is metabolic currency. Get into the gym and make a deposit today. And that's true, because if you lose 15, 20, 30 pounds and 40, 50, 60% of that is muscle, your metabolic resting rate has just dropped. That's a vicious cycle. You have to keep eating less and less and less just to stay where you are. And the problem is realistic weight loss is a couple, 3 pounds a month. And that is giving consideration to both new muscle acquisition or existing muscle maintenance. And this idea that people should be able to lose, I mean, even bariatric patients, they undergo massive weight loss very quickly. They have very muscular bodies under all that fat, just from the load of carrying that fat around. They lose a lot of that muscle and they end up with hip problems and all this other stuff too. We have to start paying attention. You know, I always say on this show, not all weight loss is good. Ask a person with a terminal illness that's losing 3 pounds a week. If they feel good about themselves, if they want to be in a magazine, no. Cachexia is a nasty thing. And forcing your body into that kind of realm is also dangerous. So I really think that this is an area where physicians really need to be re-educated, in my humble opinion.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute. You said a whole lot of very interesting things. One of which is in our study, we asked them, these physicians, how familiar they were with guidelines. Now, guidelines are created when a number of experts get together and they review all the available studies that have been done, and then they summarize it in a document that other physicians can use to guide their practice. And what we found basically was that the physicians, and remember, you and I talked a little bit about this, might, in fact, our physicians may have been the cream of the crop,
right,
in terms of interest in obesity, but their familiarity with guidelines was very low.
Yep.
The most was 50% of bariatric physicians were familiar with the guidelines put out by their own society. So physicians, yes, they need education because it looks like they're not very familiar with the guidelines. Also, I will tell you, and this was not in the study, but one of the other questions we asked them was, what would you recommend in terms of exercise for these patients? And it was pretty appalling as far as I was concerned, because there were physicians who were willing to accept, you know, 15 minutes of exercise 3 times a week. And I thought that was appalling, because that's clearly not what the guidelines say. It's, and not just the obesity guidelines, but for diabetes guidelines, they suggest people get 30 minutes of exercise 5 days a week, which might not sound like a lot to you and your audience, but for a lot of people, that would be tremendous. If they could get 30 minutes of good exercise 5 days a week, that would make a huge difference in their life. But the physicians weren't, if you're not paying attention to the guidelines, then you don't know how much exercise and what kind of exercise you should be recommending to your patients. So clearly there's a need, and as I said, this wasn't actually part of this publication, but it was something we uncovered. There's a need for physicians to be educated about what kind of exercise they should be prescribing to their patients. And I don't think a lot of physicians think about exercise as a prescription that they should be giving to their patients, but it certainly is a prescription. I also wanted to address another issue that you were talking about, losing muscle, and that's about BMI. And you may have listeners who build up muscle and, in fact, find that the BMI is a number. And
I'm obese. I'm obese according to the BMI, and I'm probably about 14% body fat, but I'm, I think, 30. My BMI right now is 31.
Exactly, and that's the point I was going to get to, which is it's a tool. It was developed to give people a way to talk about body weight, but it's not the most accurate way to measure how fat you are. You know, the most accurate way is to do body fat measurements, and there are people who are heavily muscled who fall into categories of BMI that are not appropriate for them to have this discussion. That being said, I will say that most people with a high BMI are, in fact, obese with fat and not with muscle.
Yes, I would agree. I would agree.
Yes, but it's something. It's just something people should be aware of. That it's an interesting tool. It's a good tool, but that's all it is. It's a tool, and it's not definitive. So,
my other fear is that, you know, back in the 70s, we used to run everywhere. I mean, I was an avid jogger, and I would run 4 to 5 miles a day, 5 to 6 days a week. And today, we still look at running as the benchmark for good exercise or cardiovascular training. Put somebody on a treadmill, have them walk for 30 minutes. That's a mistake. And, you know, we are finding this. I mean, those of us who are involved in physical culture, we know that resistance training, progressive resistance training, and this is when you're either increasing weight or increasing reps on a regular basis, moving in a direction where you are making the organism stronger and stronger. We know that that is a very, very important part of exercise, and cardiovascular training is equally important for different reasons. But the problem is that most physicians look at, well, somebody who walks on a treadmill at 2.5 miles an hour for 30 minutes a day, that they're just achieving great things. And this is a mistake, in my opinion, too. What do you think?
I think I have mixed feelings about that. If you have people who are not exercising at all, you have to get them started somewhere. So I think, and I think physicians should be cognizant of that, that you encourage your patients to start with some exercise.
Right.
So starting, you know, 2.5 miles an hour for 30 minutes, great if you can do that. But the next time they see the patient should be the time that they say, oh, you're doing that? Why don't you bump it up a little bit? Why don't you, you know, and add these things? And that's part of learning how to prescribe exercise, which physicians are not familiar with for the most part. In fact, almost all physicians are not familiar with that. And it's keeping track of what your patients are doing and encouraging them to do more each time, because nobody's going to be able to jump in right away to the kind of workout that you do.
I would not. That would be reckless of me to suggest that. But the pivotal word in what I said was progression,
yes,
progressive.
I agree.
You need to always be progressive. It's like, what good would it be if we only did first grade for 8 years? No, we wouldn't progress, right? Second grade builds on first grade. Third grade builds on second, and so on. So the thing that's missing, in my humble opinion, from those within the medical orthodoxy who suggest exercise is the progression part. But let's do this. I want to take a quick commercial break. I've got more questions. We're talking with Dr. Terry Ann Glauser. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Frotalin, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of prealkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off Metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use Superhuman Curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need Metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Terry Ann Glauser. What can physicians do better to help their obese patients change their outcomes? And it starts with talking to them about it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the big thing that they're not doing is talking to patients about it. And, you know, they say they're, you had mentioned earlier that sometimes people put down what they think is the right answer. And I can't help but wondering if there are a lot of physicians who are still uncomfortable bringing up a patient's obesity. It's sometimes it's like the elephant in the room. It's so obvious.
No pun intended.
No pun intended, correct. I will say that one thing that may in the future make physicians a little more conscious of needing to talk about this is electronic medical records, which as physicians are getting better and better or having to use them, what they have to enter into the medical records is somebody has to weigh the patient. The patient's height has to be there. Many of these new electronic medical records automatically calculate the patient's BMI. So when a physician comes in to see the patient, it's immediately in front of them. Well, it's harder to ignore if the number in front of you is the patient's BMI is 31. You may not want to talk to them about it, but if it's flagged, and it probably will be in the EMRs, then it's something that you need to discuss with them. So I am hopeful that that will mean that more physicians will talk about this with their patients because obesity is is a related to and a cause of so many other diseases, it's really important for physicians to be talking to their patients about this.
Yeah, and that's the other thing that I thought about, and you did address that in the questionnaire. But the other thing I think about is, you know, it's very politically incorrect to talk to people about obesity. Say you could be labeled a bully, you know, if you're not sensitive, if you don't say the right words or use the right tone in your voice, you could be demeaning. Next thing you know, I just feel like physicians' hands are tied to a great degree by the payer system, by so many things, that they just want to get through the day and not end up with some sort of malpractice lawsuit or some sort of problem. And unfortunately, and this is very unfortunate, the word unfortunately is overused, but when I say it, it's really true. Unfortunately, we are not allowed to talk about obesity anymore because you may hurt someone's feelings. And to me, that's as idiotic as saying, you know, I've got a son, he's on heroin, but I don't want to talk to him about it because I'm afraid about hurting his feelings. Like, people will go, oh, so you're going to compare a heroin addiction to obesity? Yes, I am. I absolutely am. Because we look at a heroin addiction as how it affects society. Yes, we look at the heroin addict and we say, oh, this person is killing themselves. But people smoke cigarettes every single day. They pick up their first pack every day, and people choose to kill themselves in all different ways that are acceptable, quote unquote, by our society and our social constructs. But when we look at obesity, the impact of obesity is draining this country more than a billion more heroin addicts right now. And if we have no problem saying to a heroin addict, you need help, and not having to worry about the ACLU or some organization coming after us and saying, well, you're bullying him because he's on heroin. You're right, I'm bullying him because he's on heroin. We can't talk about obesity today. We can't.
I agree with you. I think it's a really a hot topic, and I think a lot of physicians feel that way too. So I think one thing that may, as a physician, that physicians may feel they're covering this is that very often when you see a patient with diabetes or high lipids, or osteoarthritis, one of the pieces of advice that you give them is, oh, and lose some weight.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of physicians feel that that kind of covers the whole issue, when really there needs to be a separate discussion held just about weight, but that is a very uncomfortable discussion to be having with people, even though you've just discussed their diabetes. And it's, for some reason, you know, discussing smoking with the patient, people know they shouldn't smoke. So a physician, there's no, you know, reason why physicians don't discuss that. But weight is a hot topic for people. There are ways to discuss it. You can say, you know, let's talk a little bit about the relationship of weight to all these other problems that you have or are at risk of having. You know, and explain to people that. And, like, for a while, people were thinking that you could be obese, but if you exercised and were otherwise in good health, there was this whole concept of healthy obesity.
Yeah, healthy at any weight. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
There's actually an organization called Healthy at Any Weight.
And actually, there have been some recent studies that show that, in fact, you are not healthy at any
right.
weight.
Right.
And that you may be exercising and doing some of the right things, and that will postpone your
yes.
getting these diseases, but it will not stop them. And so there is no healthy at any weight. There's healthy at a healthy weight, and there's
unhealthy,
not
period.
Healthy
right.
at other weights.
Right.
So.
And I've talked about that phenomenon on the show when that study came out a year or so ago saying, you know, that obese people were healthier than skinny people, and participants in that study, what they failed to realize is, you know, if I buy, what's that little tiny car? It's the size of a roller skate that everybody, those smart cars, right? If I buy one of those smart cars and I want to tow, a horse, wagon behind me with six or seven horses, I probably could do it for a couple months and the car would be relatively in good shape. But if I did that continuously, eventually the car is going to break down from the wear. So, if you took a snapshot of that car in the first couple of weeks, you'd say, wow, this car is so amazing. You can tow a horse-drawn van of horses behind it, and it's fine. But then look 6 months later, and it's fallen apart. So when you look at some of these obese people, you're looking at them at a moment when they haven't succumbed to these disease states. Their markers are still in, quote-unquote, normal ranges, which that's another issue, these wide epidemiological ranges that we use for things like that. And we say, oh, see, they're healthy, but they're not. You look at the direction they're going in. That's more important than where they are at that snapshot.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think one of the other things that gets in the way of physicians talking about obesity with patients is that obesity, and you were talking about it earlier, it's not a one-time discussion that you have with patients. And patients, as with many chronic diseases, they need a lot of support. So, you know, if you're diabetic, you can go to diabetes classes taught by a certified diabetes educator. But there isn't so much available for obesity within the medical establishment.
But
Jenny Craig or to Weight Watchers or something, but that still doesn't cover.
And
the
that's not a good. That's not a good plan. And that's why this is where I fault the insurance companies. You see, you would think that the insurance companies want to keep people healthy so they pay for less disease. But for some reason, it doesn't work that way. What needs to be done is doctors need to enlist personal trainers that have certain certifications and meet certain criteria where they trust their approach to physical management. And they need to be able to turn it over to them to do the work. Because doctors shouldn't be tasked to become personal trainers now. They shouldn't have to become dietitians now. We have them. But go get the insurance companies to pay for it. That's, in my humble opinion, this is where the insurance companies are contributing to the problem today.
Well, the insurance companies have been part of the problem for a long time. It took a very long time for us to get them to start paying for screening tests and for vaccinations, and they don't want to spend out any money, and they don't see the benefit of preventive services, which is what you're talking about. And it would take, if we could get them to pay for this, it's going to take a very long time because they're very, very resistant to paying for anything that's preventive.
So yeah, and the truth
is, I agree with you.
People,
the other thing is that we need to teach physicians about the resources where they can send patients to get this kind of help, that they can send patients to a nutritionist and to a physical trainer, and that these people can give patients the time and the attention and the information that a primary care physician or an endocrinologist doesn't have the time and sometimes the education to provide for them. They need to learn where they can send their patients, and I think that that's something that's definitely lacking.
I just thought of the perfect solution, and the insurance companies wouldn't have to pay for it, and every doctor in the country could start doing it right now. They just need to tell their patients to start listening to this show. That's the easy solution right there. Listen, I want to thank you so much for being on the air. This is really an important discussion. It's not had often enough, and I hope that you do some follow-up on this group and check on them months from now to see if as a result of being involved in this questionnaire, if they've changed their approach and attitudes.
Very good.
Take care.
Thank you very much. Okay. Bye.
All right, so we're going to take one quick commercial break. Dan Matha is in the studio. He is chewing on bones, baby. He's ready for this show. We're doing a Matha Motivation Hour. We're going to be talking about the power of introspection and helping to propel you to be the ultimate superhuman. You have the power. You just have to learn how to use it, and Dan's going to teach you. Stay tuned.
One-two punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for
Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the KetoKana banner ad today.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now, you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD. And neither should you.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Oh, no, we just went that way. No, we just went that way. No, we just went that way. There they go!
She's crazy like a fool.
What about Daddy Cool?
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Get close to your radio, put your hands on the speakers, and get ready to be motivated. We've got Dan Matha. This is the Matha Motivation Hour. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited. I'm excited for this show. I've been waiting to do this show for a little bit, and I've got some good stuff I'm ready to drop on people.
So what this you started texting me a while ago, like introspection. I'm thinking about introspection. So what made you start thinking about introspection in the first place? I guess that in and of itself is introspection, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely it is. Well, I have a good friend, Grayson, that me and him will get into some real deep conversations, and we spit some ideas back and forth at each other. So a lot of times, you know, stuff will just kind of evolve from one of those conversations, or it may evolve from, you know, just kind of thinking on my own, and then I talk to him, and then we talk about whatever. But introspection, you know, I was just thinking about some things. Just the word itself, let's define it. Introspection. It's the examination or observation of one's own mental and emotional process. Essentially, it's the act of looking within oneself.
So it's almost like you're above the process, looking down at how you think, how you see things, and how you react to those things.
Precisely. It's you have to be able, and it's not easy to do, because what it requires you to do is to take a step back from yourself and analyze yourself, which is hard to do because we're all biased to ourselves.
Right.
So what needs to happen is you've got to truly, critically analyze yourself. Look at everything that you've done and see, is it really, are you really doing what is necessary to be the best that you can be? Are you really doing the things to put yourself in position to be successful?
You know, I actually learned about this. I was trying to find something, and I'll find it before the next break. But there's something I learned in psychology when I was in college, and I got to find out who it was. It was like somebody's law. It's what you know about yourself, what you don't know about yourself, what others know about you, and what others don't know about you. And that's the process of introspection. That's how you become introspective. You have to be able to look at yourself not only through your own eyes, but through other people's eyes as well. That's one of the ways that you can actually take a step back. Like you're saying, it's hard to become introspective because you really have to be objective. You have to step away from yourself. And you have to let go of the things that you think about yourself in order to be truly honest about your thought process, how you look at things, and how you react to things. So it's an interesting concept. So have you been introspective in your whole career and you just realize it, or are you becoming more introspective now as a result of kind of discovering this concept?
I think I have not always been able to look at myself in such the manner, right? But I think there came a time in my life where, and to be honest with you, I think this time really is where I grew as the individual that I am exponentially, because what it allowed me to do is find my faults, find what I wasn't doing, what I thought I was doing. You know, everyone thinks they're doing everything they can do. And when you really, like, that's why it's hard to do this. I found out what I was doing. I, at one point in my life, or maybe the majority of it, I was my own worst enemy. I was doing things, you know, yeah, I was working hard.
And you still were successful.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was fortunate enough to still be successful, but to really take that next step to be literally the best, that if you are all about being the best, maximizing your potential. You know, we live on this earth for a glimpse, a very brief moment in time. And I think it's a shame that we don't, each and every one of us don't maximize our potential. And introspection really allowed me, because those are things that I preached all the time throughout my whole life, was who I was, what I was about, and what I was willing to do to be that person. And at a point in my life, I kind of had an aha moment where I took a step back and looked, and I was like, wow, I'm not doing those things. You know, I may have been going out and partying too much, drinking too much, you know, hanging out with the wrong people, surrounding myself with the people, not like-minded people. And there was all these variables that I was like, wow, you know, you're really not about all these things. And being the person that I am, I it's either put up or shut up. And those are the things that I was thinking to myself, like, if I'm really going to maximize myself, I need to really crank down, because I'm not doing everything to be the best that I can.
But some people would look at that like, now you're so rigid, you're not enjoying life. Oh, so what's the big deal about going out and partying on the weekends? What's the big deal about staying up late during the week to hang out with your pals? Like, you know, now you're so rigid, you're not enjoying life. When you discover, so how do you position it in your mind to make maximizing your potential the most exciting thing you can do, so you don't feel like you're losing or giving up these other things that are quote unquote fun?
To me, fun is success. Being successful is fun. It's my addiction. I think everybody has, we all have addictions, and some are more socially acceptable than others. But to me, fun is being the best that I could be. Fun is going to be in 40 years from now, looking back and being like, wow, I did it.
Right.
I did all of those things that people talk about. I went after it. I did everything I could. And when I look back, I'm not going to be 60 years old on a porch drinking beers with my buddy and be like, oh man, you know, if I would have done this or would have done that. No, I'm going to look back and be truly at peace with myself, because I will have done everything. And to me, all of these sacrifices, you know, to be the best that I can be aren't really sacrifices at all. They're necessities to be the best you can be. And I, at the end of the day, you know, hanging out with people or whatever it is, don't get me wrong. I enjoy my friends and I enjoy company of other people. And I always find a way to kind of mix that into my life to a degree. But at the same time, those people, these other people, they're not the ones that are going to have to live with regret.
Yeah. We need to take a break. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll be right back with more Dan Matha. He's fired up, folks. Stay tuned.
Makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex, is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics. Progenidrex.
Anabolicminds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit Anabolicminds.com today and get into the action. Anabolicminds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Do you have a federal student loan? Did you know that the federal government has allotted millions of dollars to reduce or forgive your student loan debt? Are you getting your share of these federal forgiveness program dollars? If you answer no, then you need to call 866-539-2755 right now. FedAidAdvisors.com will qualify you right over the phone for free. One free phone call and FedAidAdvisors.com guarantees to reduce your payments, eliminate interest for the first 3 years, and even wipe your loan debt clean for those who qualify. The call is free to find out if you qualify. Call 866-539-2755 right now. That's 866-539-2755.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freakmaker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Protolan, Whey Isolate, Whey Concentrate, Milk Isolate, Casein and Egg, quality protein sources with Carbolin, Prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing Carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of Prealkaline pH buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Matha Motivation here at Superhuman Radio. What I was talking about earlier was called the Johari Window. what you know about yourself, what you don't know about yourself, what others know about you, and what others don't know about you. And you can use that. It's actually a quadrant. You fill in the answers to help become more introspective. But okay, let's talk about something else. You mentioned something during the break about failure and why people don't do the things that they're supposed to do. Right? Isn't that what you were talking about?
Yeah.
So open up with that. So what do you think about that? Why doesn't everybody wants to be the best version of themselves. Why don't they?
Everybody wants to, quote unquote, you know, to be the best or succeed. But what really, if someone really, this is the best way to figure out if somebody, their actions.
Right.
Their actions will really tell you whether or not they want to be, because you don't need to be connected. You don't need to have you don't even really need a plan. You just need to start taking action. You could know no one, not have a plan, not really even know what you're doing, but you start taking action towards your goal, getting up and taking a step toward it. It could be the wrong step, but it's still a step.
Right.
And by taking the wrong step towards whatever your goal is,
at least you know it's the wrong step.
Yeah, now you know that's not the step I want to take. So then you take another step. Say that's wrong. Oh, not that one. And if you take enough wrong steps, eventually you're going to get to the right step. And
right.
once you start getting in the right direction, it may take some time. But if you're taking action, you're always moving and flowing. At some point, you're going to start making the right connections, the right steps, the right things. And then those things exponentially build.
What about people who put things off? Next week I'm going to get serious about this. Next week but this week I want to party. I want to have a good time. I want to do these other things.
The time is now. Life is made up of time. So to waste time is to waste life, mm-hmm. your life. And it's brief. We don't have that much time and we don't have that much youth. You want to take advantage of every second that you get. And a lot of times people make excuses because that's their way of dealing with failure or dealing with the fact that they're not able to work that or don't want to work that hard.
That's an interesting point. Lots of people say they want things like, I want to be a power lifter, right? But they don't train hard enough. They don't eat right. They don't get to sleep, or they overtrain, and they do all the things that, you know, aren't going to lead, that they know aren't going to lead. But yet they keep saying that they want to do something. What about people like that?
They are pretenders. They are posers.
Just get over it.
Yeah. Take action. Now is the time. Take action. A lot of times people don't ever blame themselves.
Like why doesn't anybody sit back and go when they're, you know, the Al Bundys of the world where they peaked in high school? Why don't they ever sit back and go, you know what? I never did anything with my life because I chose not to do anything with my life. Instead, they always blame circumstances, events, people,
boss.
Places. Yeah.
Their
yeah.
boss,
their
coach.
Their wife, their kids.
Yeah. This for me, people will blame their boss. They don't like their boss, or their boss doesn't like them, or coach, you know, whatever. Politics, you know, he was somebody's uncle or somebody's nephew, or I wasn't connected. And there's always excuses. It's easier to blame others than to blame yourself. And maybe sometimes those are circumstances and those are things.
But think about this.
They're
so let's,
not
let's
an
say
excuse.
It is, let's say it is a circumstance. So let's say you're up for a placement on the roster of a major team.
Right.
And you know a guy who's shooting for that same position. He's got the edge over you because his uncle is the mayor or something like that. So do you just give in to that, or do you find a way to circumvent his edge? My point is, if you know what the obstacle is, if you just sit back and go, I have no choice, I'm going to give in to it, I can't, then you didn't do everything you could.
Yeah, it comes down to how bad do you want it? How bad do you want what it is that you talk about? How bad is it that you want that goal? Your desires, how bad do you truly want it? And sometimes there are going to be circumstances that get in your way, but they're speed bumps, not roadblocks.
Right.
You know?
Right. Learn to navigate
right.
around them.
Yeah, there's always a way. If you're willing to put in the extra work, there's always a way to succeed. Sometimes it may be harder. It may be longer. It may be time consuming. It may be exhausting, you know? But that's the price you have to pay, because sacrifice is necessary for success. You have to make an obscene amount of sacrifices to be the top, to be the best you can be, because without those sacrifices, you wouldn't be able to do those things necessary to be successful. Like, you have to have the sacrifice, because when you sacrifice family time, social time, you sacrifice, you know, going out, whatever it is that you hold dear to yourself, a lot of times you are going to have to sacrifice those things. And if they're important to you when you're going towards your goal, you'll realize like it was like this is I sacrificed family time. I sacrificed a relationship to gain this job. And then it becomes so much more important, and it drives you. It drives you to the point where you're so laser focused that it doesn't matter what's in front of you. If it's a brick wall, you're running through it. If it's, you know, you're jumping over whatever it is, you are going to get there. It doesn't matter because you've made so many sacrifices along the way that it's what you have to do.
A lot of times, sacrifice is like an island. You can't see the destination. You just feel like you're out there. You know, you're making sacrifices day in and day out. You feel no closer to your goal. You feel further away from the things that you did find comfort in. You're kind of like on an island. How do you stay focused on your goal when you're on that island?
You have to set short-term goals along with long-term goals. Because a long-term goal is long-term. It's going to take a long time to get to that goal. And without short-term, you set short-term goals so you're feeling success, you're feeling achievement. What you need to focus on is right here, right now. Taking, you know, this is an awesome example that I'm stealing from Will Smith, but he talks about building a wall. You don't build the best wall possible. You take a brick, you lay that brick, and you lay it the best you possibly can lay one brick. And then you do it again with the next brick. And over X amount of time, next thing you know, you have the best wall that you could possibly build.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing for success. It's one step at a time, doing the little things. You do the little things great, and then the sum adds up, and then you do big things.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Now, let's talk about you for a second. When did you start to become more introspective? How long ago was this?
Probably there was like an enlightenment period in my life.
Tell me the story. What happened?
It was my time at Pitt. You know, I came out of high school, you know, huge recruit, going to play wherever, you know, he's going to start as a freshman.
And that's very heady.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've said before, you guys may have heard before, I've been being told I was going to play in the NFL since I was in the eighth grade. I mean, that's some heavy crap to be laying on some eighth grader. All right. Like, as cool as it may seem, it's really not that cool. But, you know, I didn't play for the first 3 years at Pitt. Like I've said before, I was on the I was a scout team player. And for me, it was like, what am I doing to not be where I need to be? And granted, there were some injuries and there were some other things and there were some outside factors. And I was letting those get to me. I was letting those.
You were letting those dictate your outcome.
Right. I was letting, you know, being, you know, not being, you know, one of the new coaches guys, my coach, you know, the two coaches that recruited me left right after my freshman year. All these circumstances that kind of, you know, did have a plan why I wasn't playing. I was letting them control my mindset, letting them control my emotional state. And I kind of, right around my junior year, I kind of had this period where I just kind of was almost like, screw it. Screw all this. I almost thought about quitting football. And like, I just had this period where I just kind of let go of everything and just was like, what, you know, gonna let go of everything. And it allowed me to just kind of, I really did some soul searching and digging deep. And then I realized that, yeah, those things were preventing me from playing, but I wasn't doing everything I could do. And so then I started just really looking at myself, really critiquing myself and being just super anal about the things I was doing. And I made the decision right then and there, you know, I made the decision to transfer schools. I was like, if I really want to play football, because I made the decision I didn't want to transfer because I really loved football and I wanted to play. So, all right, what's the next step from here? Got to go to a different school. So I made the transfer. I then was like, well, what do I have to do to maximize this potential? Cause this is only, I may not ever get another shot at playing college football again. So I needed to start X-ing out all of these things. And it took, you know.
How long did it take altogether, you think?
I would say an additional 4 years from there, it really took me to get to the point where I am now, where I'm just laser focused. And to be honest, each day I'm getting better because I'm always, every day you got to re-motivate yourself to the goal, to the cause. And you have to be you have to look within yourself every single day and say, did I do everything yesterday to be the best I can be today? And you got to do it again every day so that you're better today than you were yesterday, and to also set you up so you can be better tomorrow than you are today.
Kind of like playing pool. You're not just focused on this shot, but you're focused on where you're going to put the ball for the next shot.
Yeah.
So you're always looking 2 or 3 shots ahead.
Got to.
You can't just look at the next shot.
No.
I want to take a break, and then I have a question I think that plays into this. We're talking with Dan Matha. This is the Matha Motivation Hour. Stay tuned.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoCana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoCana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Cana banner ad today.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Do you have a federal student loan? Did you know that the federal government has allotted millions of dollars to reduce or forgive your student loan debt? Are you getting your share of these federal forgiveness program dollars? If you answer no, then you need to call 866-539-2755 right now. FedAidAdvisors.com will qualify you right over the phone for free. One free phone call and FedAidAdvisors.com
guarantees to reduce your payments, eliminate interest for the first 3 years, and even wipe your loan debt clean for those who qualify. The call is free to find out if you qualify. Call 866-539-2755 right now. That's 866-539-2755.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizol, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizol works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, Superhuman Radio is made possible through a special grant from All American Pharmaceutical. Their product line, All-American EFX Sports. Dan Mathey uses Carbolin, right?
Yeah.
Love that stuff.
I love it for my long workout.
There you go. Check it out. Go to superhumanradio.com and click one of the All-American EFX banner ads. We're talking with Dan Mathey. This is the Mathey Motivation Hour. And as you can tell, Dan, as usual, is fired up. And he's just as fired up in the gym as well. So when we were talking off the air, I said to you, sometimes when you're introspective, and you start to realize certain steps that need to be taken in order for you to secure whatever the goal is that you need to take. These options, if you will, these steps quite often are counterintuitive and or you'll find that you'll resist taking them because of peer pressure or social constructs. So, for instance, you had an opportunity to continue to play football. You were only 25 years old when you decided not to go on.
Yeah.
There were other teams that you could have played on.
Yeah.
And you have friends and family members who were like, Dan, why wouldn't you continue to play football? Why would you leave that? And you had other ideas, other dreams, right?
Yeah.
So it takes courage sometimes. It's not just enough to be introspective. And maybe this is why so many people vacillate. Maybe so many people know what it takes, but they're afraid to do it. They're afraid that it won't work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I couldn't agree anymore with that. Sometimes you have to make the hard decision. You've got to, a lot of times we know, like, shut your mind down, just listen to your gut, your instincts. You always know, like, people ask for advice, like when someone asks for advice, but they already know.
Yeah, they're looking for reaffirmation, right.
But a lot of, just listen to yourself, listen to your gut. Don't pay attention to what your family says, what your friends say, what social construct may say is right or wrong. All what matters at the end of the day is what you think is right. So sometimes you may have to make a decision where you give up a great job. You give up a great relationship. You have to give. Sometimes it looks like you're giving up. Sometimes it looks like you're taking a step back.
No, worse than that. Sometimes it looks like you're being a jerk. So let's say you're a person who has a goal, and that goal requires that you move to Florida. But you and your fiance are living in Michigan. And she says, I'm not moving to Florida. So your choice is to not continue on with your goal and be prepared that decades from now you'll resent her and resent that,
yeah,
or to say to her, I gotta go.
Yeah. I mean, it comes down to how bad, what's more important, that relationship or your success. And a lot of times what the social construct will say is love in that relationship should trump everything. But inside your heart, inside your mind, inside your gut, you know that success, you going after what you want, is most important. Because at the end of the day, everybody will act in self-interest. And that's looked at as selfish.
Right.
But is it really? Maybe it is, but is there anything wrong with that?
Right.
Is there anything wrong with going after what you want, doing whatever it takes by giving up a relationship, giving up a fiance, giving up a job? Like, to me, a person like that is courageous.
Well, so let's talk about that for a second. Why do we see being selfish as a negative? Shouldn't you be selfish? Shouldn't you be concerned about yourself first? Shouldn't your mantra be like that of the airline stewardess when she says put your mask on first and then put the mask on the person next to you?
Right.
Shouldn't you be putting your mask on first in life?
I mean, I think it's human nature to, for self-preservation, to act in your own
best interest. But why does social constructs make someone who's selfish is a bad thing?
That could be a segment all in itself. It makes people feel better, I think, to think that, you know, we're looking out for our fellow man. Like, we're all here for each other.
But you can still look out for your fellow man and have more to offer your fellow man if you're selfish first.
I agree. I agree. I don't know why people think that. And I think it's just, like we said, socially, it's kind of drilled into us from a young age.
Right.
And being able, introspection allows you to see that and allow you to make, like, that allows you to make that decision and be like, I need to be selfish. I need to take a step back. And sometimes you have to cut people out of your life. Sometimes you need, I've done it. I've cut a lot of people out of my life that are not like-minded. And for me, you know, a lot of times, if that's the case, you end up by yourself, it seems like. And it's not that you're better than them, or it's just we're not on the same journey. We're not on the same mission, and it's okay to separate people and put them to the side. And it's not that I don't care about them or that you don't care about them. You care about them any less. It's just that, you know, this is my journey, and only I live this journey, and only I am the one that lives with the consequences.
Yeah. Well, and so to use heroin addicts a second time during the show, I used heroin addicts as an end. But I mean, so if you were like a physical culture, superhuman type person, you wouldn't have a bunch of friends that are heroin addicts, right? Because even though they're great people, you like them, you grew up with them, like they are not like-minded. They like getting high. They like injecting drugs. You don't. So it wouldn't be like, well, I'm going to invite them all over for dinner. Oh, they robbed all my stuff. Oh, those guys are funny. You know what I mean? Because they don't fit into your lifestyle.
Right.
That's one area where people have no problem with somebody going, I cut those people out of my life.
Right.
But there are other areas where people like, you know, my desire is to, in my particular case, to be as strong and live as long as I possibly can and live the legacy of this radio show. So there are a lot of people that are not in my life anymore as a result of that. But that may seem selfish, like I'm a jerk or something like that. So we're very, very, we're willing to accept the idea of surrounding yourself with like-minded people to a point. And then all of a sudden, again, society looks at one of us and goes, well, see, you're narrow-minded and selfish. Well, and I was just thinking of this. We're taught as young children, oh, share your toy with little Tommy now.
Right.
You know what? Parents shouldn't do that.
Right.
Parents, if your child has a toy in his hand and little Tommy wants to play with it and your child doesn't want to give it up, don't tell your child now share.
Well,
you're teaching your child is little Tommy's more important to you than he is.
Well, it comes down to confrontation. Nobody ever wants to create confrontation. It makes people very awkward. They don't like confrontation. Everybody kind of wants to get along. And I think that kind of ties into this is
everybody
kind of wants to get along with everybody and, you know, don't cause any waves because sometimes there may be a confrontation or whatnot.
You're so right.
But this is my thing. Make as many confrontations as necessary.
Shake it up.
Make waves. You know what I mean? Bring the place, burn the house down if you got to. You know what I mean? Whatever it takes. You know what I mean? Do what you need to do. To, you know, if it means not sharing any of your toys with the next door neighbor, you know what I mean? Get your own damn toy. You
know? I mean, it's really, we're taught at a very young age to put other people before ourselves. Is it any wonder that people don't make it as far as they really can in their lives? It's like, that's nonsense. We need to change the way we teach our children. We need to start teaching our children that they should be the most important people in their lives first. And then everybody else is second, third, and fourth.
Yeah. I agree. I think people, you know, and it's not very, you know, common and it looks weird. And the second you talk about it, people are kind of, you know, they just think you're crazy or they're like, oh, that's just some, but meditation, you know, it's huge in Eastern cultures, but just taking and the research behind it is out of this world on the effects on your mind, body, and soul. Just taking 20 minutes out of your day to kind of just keep it to yourself. No, you know, no distractions in a quiet place where you just really just
all with yourself.
Look within yourself. And that ties into introspection. It's a tool to be introspective, to be able to just separate yourself from your phone, your computer, other people, and just really
be
relax
with yourself.
Yeah. Breathing.
Yeah, there really is nothing. There's nothing more solitary than meditation. You're right.
Right. But it's weird. It's weird, and it's something that you have to build that habit. That's something that you got to build. So it is kind of weird at first, especially to people who are not used to that. But it allows you. It's a huge tool that really allows you to look within yourself and realize, what do I have to do to be the best possible version of myself?
You know what's really funny? So I made an observation this week, and I told Elisa this. This is probably going to be a little off color to talk about, but I got a feeling there's a lot of people out there who take their iPhones into the bathroom with them. So you're sitting on the commode, and you're texting and you're posting on Facebook while you're sitting there.
Right.
And you know, in past, that was a very solitary thing, right? When you went in the bathroom, you were in there by yourself. In fact, there's some people out there who try to escape their families by going into the bathroom and sitting, you know, right. Where's dad? He's in the bathroom again. You know what I mean?
Right.
But now we take the world with us in the bathroom. And I said to Elisa, I'm not taking my iPhone in the bathroom with me anymore. Number one, I end up spending more time in there than just what I'm supposed to be doing.
Your freaking legs fall asleep.
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but it's like, really? Like, I have to be connected to the world when I'm doing this too? Like, how can you be introspective if you're not even disconnected at any moment of the day?
Yeah, I think that's the double-edged sword that comes with technology, you know, and I'm not anti-technology. It has a place.
Yes.
It's awesome. Our civilization has grown exponentially because of it. But we've also taken away of our ability to be alone.
Right.
Our ability, you know, think about it. The second you're alone, people are on their phone, scrolling through Twitter. You know, who's saying what? What's going on? Scrolling through Facebook, Instagram, taking pictures, Snapchatting, whatever it is. You're never just alone with yourself. And I always try and take a little bit of time out of my day. I always try and keep, I'm bad with that too. I'll be on my phone a lot. But what I try and do is each day designate X amount of time where I'm away from my phone. I keep my phone on silent, not vibrate
yeah,
or
too.
Anything. I keep it on silent because my phone is there at my convenience. And to have it on vibrate or have, you know, the noise up, the volume, so you can hear it every time.
Yeah, you're
and
at
as soon as you hear it, you're yeah. at you're a slave.
Yeah, you're
to
at
the
a
phone,
beck and call.
To your technology. Exactly. So a lot of times people will be mad. They call me or text me, and if I don't have my phone, I mean, I don't ever see it until whenever I get to it. And they're just like, "Oh, this guy's the worst with his phone,"
right.
Which I guess I am, but I don't really care because happy.
Yeah, just
I'm
get
happy.
Used to it. Yeah,
yeah.
You know what's funny? They did a study. We talked about it probably a couple years ago. There are people who constantly check their phone, right? They're like constantly checking to see if they got a text message, constantly, and they actually get a rush. They get a burst of adrenaline and norepinephrine when they check their phone. They become addicted to that. So that like they're carrying their iPhone with them all the time, and they're constantly flipping it and hitting the button to see if anybody messaged them. Anybody? It's like there's an addictive quality to that. You do have to put your phone down and disconnect from it. And there's a lot of people out there who can't do it. They can't be without their phone. Like, I've left the house without my phone numerous times. And Elisa would say, "You want to go back and get it?" I said, "Nah, you know, I'll check it when I get home."
Sometimes those are the best times.
There are people who will be like, "Oh, my God, I left my phone home. I got to go all the way back to the house and get it." It's like, you know what? The world will keep turning.
Right.
I'm okay. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. Stay tuned.
Freakish muscle gains, Freak Maker Build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of prealkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing.
That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormones. Hormonal anabolics, Progenidrex.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get 2 bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Welcome back. Okay, so once somebody has mastered introspection, what do you think, how will their life change? What will they notice?
Mastering that ability is, what it does is, you have the courage to make the tough decisions, or it gives you the ability to have that courage.
How so?
Because now you know. Because you've looked within, you see your weaknesses, and now you start working towards those weaknesses to turn those weaknesses into strengths. You're always bettering yourself, taking steps, and that skill allows you to do that. So you're getting better, you're getting stronger physically, mentally, emotionally as a person. Now you're able to make the hard decisions, whether it's you need to train harder or spend more time in the office or
spend more time alone.
Being alone is invaluable. I truly believe that every single person should spend 6 months to a year alone
in a new, you said,
in a different city,
move
not
into a new city where you don't know anybody,
move to a city where you don't know a person, just off on your own and just try and go and make it a part of your journey. So it's not just a random place. You know what I mean? Or maybe it is a random place, but just be alone in a city away from no one. That time alone will allow you. It will force you into introspection. If you haven't mastered the skill at that point, you will have it after that time, because you will have spent so much time alone that all you can do is think about yourself, what you're doing, what you're going to do, how can you do those things better. And it really allows you to get to know yourself. You're no longer asking, looking to friends or family for approval. You're just doing things.
Yeah, and you got a lot more time on your hands, too, to do things when you don't have anybody around that you know.
Right, you're just doing things for yourself. You're developing yourself.
How do you personally use introspection? Do you do it every day?
I like to, every morning, I start off with you know, just looking within myself, just thinking about, you know, how I'm going to attack the day, what I need to do. And usually that kind of extends from the night before, because the night before sets me up by, I think about what I did that day, what I need to do the next day, and then I look back on the things, interactions I may have had with people, how they responded to the things that I did, how I responded to the things they did, and if I could have done certain things in those situations better, you know, that's very important to do. So then in the morning, you're refreshed. You just woke up from X amount of sleep, and now you're ready to take on the day. So I always think about, you know, I always tell myself every morning, let's own the day, you sexy son of a, you know, I'm ready to take on the day.
Right.
So I get up and I start making my breakfast. And in that, that's my process. I get up.
It's like a ritual.
Measure my oats, my eggs, and all those things. But while I'm doing that, I'm not thinking about that. I mean, that stuff's mindless. What I'm thinking about is what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it. If there's something I can add into my daily routine to optimize what I'm going to do to achieve my goals, you know, whatever they are, they could be something as little as I'm going to the grocery store. Well, what can I do to make that trip to the grocery store the most efficient possible grocery store trip that I've ever had up to that point?
Right.
And you practice that, these little things in every day. You practice them no matter what it is. It could be as little, like I said, the grocery store. I'm talking about practicing going to the grocery store. But when you're always trying to be the best you can be and looking within yourself to optimize those skills, no, you'll always do it. It's like practice. You know, you practice how you play, you know.
And then at
and
the end of the day,
same thing with your life.
The end of the day, you take inventory on what you did, what you really got done, what you maybe you didn't get done. And then that feeds into the next day when you wake up in the morning and you lay out your day again.
It's a perpetual cycle of just self-reflection and self-improvement.
Right. And when you are looking at the day moving forward, because people, so when people get these kind of ideas like, oh, I'm going to do this, right? They wake up in the morning and they give themselves like 30 goals that day. That's not realistic. You know, you really have to be one or two new things that you're going to do or improve upon, or can you really load yourself up? Because I got a feeling that most people give themselves unrealistic goals and then they fail and they go, oh, see, I knew it. I knew I couldn't do this.
Everybody's different. I mean, some people probably could handle doing more things than others, but realistically, there's the things that you need to do in the day, and then there's the things you want to do. And sometimes they are intertwined, but you need to, what's most important? Prioritize everything.
I call it mission critical tasks. Things that are critical to the mission.
Right. And sometimes for me, I like to write things down, and it seems like a waste of time, or it's like, you know, you don't do it, but just build the habit of writing things down, just creating the words. Like, you think them in your head, but to either verbalize them or write them down is so empowering. Self-empowerment. It's not empowering to anyone else or the way that it just empowers you every single, like every time you write something down or every time I say what I'm going to do to somebody, it empowers me. So the same thing there, you just write down what you're going to do, prioritize what you're going to do on a piece of paper. And you look at it and now you know it's just burned in your head and you just wrote it down. So it's like, let's do this. And these are the things that you're going to do. And you're not always going to achieve your to-do list. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's like working out. You got to feel it. Some days you're going to go in the gym and you have a plan. You know, you have a program. Don't be a slave to your program. Some days your program's going to say, you know, work up to 90%, but you just feel incredible. You're just a savage in the gym. Use that day. You know what I mean? Work up to a 95 or 100%. Same thing in life. There's going to be some days you're more energized to do more things. You know, you may only have five things on your list, but you just wrecked through all of them. You just, you did them the best you could. You have so much more time. So add a couple more things. But some days, there's going to be days where you don't have energy. You don't, you know, you're not as focused. Something came up. You know, you had five things in a list. You only did three. Don't kill yourself over it.
Right. Just add it to tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
You just self-reflect, you know. That's a chance, you know, you're not going to hit a home run every day.
Right.
Sometimes you got to look back and be like, well, I didn't achieve the things that I wanted to. Well, why? And then look back. It's okay to fail. We've talked about this before.
Failure's fine. Good.
Failure is the most important thing someone can do.
Because you know then what to do right.
Right. It's the best way to analyze yourself, to critique yourself, to fail. Is the best way for introspection. If you're really willing, if you're brave enough to look at failure, your failure and why you failed.
And not blame it on somebody else.
Precisely.
And we don't have to go into this, but you've made some tough decisions recently yourself as a result of introspection. You've made some decisions that some people would say, wow, you know, you're taking some big risks. Why don't you take the easy road? What happens if they don't play out right for you? Do you blame yourself and move on? Do you learn from it and change? How will you handle that? Obviously, if they play out and they work well, bravo. But what happens when they don't work out?
When they don't work out, it's tough. I mean, failure's tough. It never gets easy. But you look at, I mean, I hate saying failure. I say it, but I don't think failure is not attached to a negative connotation with me anymore.
Right.
Failure is a learning experience. Failure is a lesson learned. And I know it's a cheesy, you know, expression, but if you really learn from a situation, you never truly fail.
Right.
So that's the way you look at it. And in my mind, if I don't succeed at something, you know, I make a tough decision, you know, I made some sacrifices for something and I don't get what I was trying to obtain.
Yeah, right.
I don't stop. I never stop. Keep going in stride and just adapt on the way, because sometimes things don't work out for other things. You know, the universe has a funny way of working.
Yeah.
And I truly believe as long as you're working as hard as you possibly can and you're always positive, the universe will always conspire for your success.
Right.
So I think it's very important not to let, because a lot of times what happens is you fail and people let that failure stop them.
See,
right,
I told you you shouldn't have done that.
Right.
You know, yeah.
They let them define them. They let that failure define them instead of just keep going, keep churning your legs, man. Keep pumping your knees, because you never know what's going to happen. Yeah. With every failure, there's opportunity somewhere. And
right.
As long as you're prepared, you know, that's what luck is when preparation meets opportunity. People
right.
say you're lucky. Bull. Bull,
right.
Man. I'm not lucky. I worked hard. I'm prepared. And this opportunity came along and I was ready for it. And sometimes opportunities come your way and because you're not ready for them. But if you're always working hard and you're always positive, no matter whether you knew the opportunity was coming or not, you're going to be ready for it.
Yeah. It's all good stuff. Very, very good stuff. How can people follow you, Dan?
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Instagram's my favorite, so follow me on Instagram. All of them, just search Dan Matha. You'll find me.
M-A-T-H-A.
M-A-T, math with an A.
There you go. There you go. And be motivated by Dan Matha. Listen, Dan, thanks for being on the air today.
My pleasure.
Also, I want to thank, Dr. Terry Ann Glauser for talking about how physicians view obesity and what steps they take to help their patients manage their own obesity. And this is only Monday. We've got a full week of great shows, so please tune in. And then Brooks Kubik will be on Thursday. We're going to do a tributary show to his dad. His dad did pass away. So check it out, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
Do you want free?